haunted by a ghost.
Unexplained mysteries to license.
Mysterious.
Boom.
Boom, 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 boom.
Unexplained phenomena.
I said a boom, chicka boom.
Boom.
Strange lights in the sky over Houston.
Bigfoot, it turns out, is real, according to one group of researchers.
Weird, wild stuff.
Mysterious boom.
So, have you guys been working on your tulpas?
Oh, boy.
I thought you were going to at Billy. I thought you were going to do at Billy for a second. You...
No tulpas.
I am Hughes Tulpa at Billy. So I was thinking, like, before we explain it, like, I was thinking it'd be cool to make, like, a really just, like, offensive, like, evil tulpa.
Oh, no.
Isn't that somewhere in Tulpa, Oklahoma?
So I was gonna make like, and then I was thinking that a funny one for Kel would be to just make Cigarettes the Clown be his tulpa.
Oh no, maybe
we could bring him to life.
Maybe Cigarettes and maybe Kate Wicket are tulpas
already.
They're tulpas the whole time.
So there, okay. There's a bunch of stuff about it. I kind of read over that, and then I read over the Wikipedia page. But there's like a lot of forums on that page that you posted, tulpa.info, is that what it is?
Yeah.
And there's like a bunch of forums in there about this stuff. And it's like, they're saying that you make up a person inside your mind that you give characteristics to, and you start treating this imaginary person in your mind as if I'm reading it correctly, that's what it sounds like to me, right? You bring this entity to life. And it's like another person with other aspirations that lives inside you becomes a real person. Is that right?
I don't know. I'm not.
I think they literally become a real person.
I just heard about this.
Like, first off, hello. I'm back.
Hello.
Hi. What's up?
Second off, I have a little bit of personal experience. It's not really you're creating a separate entity. A tulpa is a portrayal of your own subconscious. And
okay. That's
the reason that they can act differently and independently from you.
So it's like a way of like exercising your subconscious to be more present?
Yeah, sort of. Imagine it is like a self-induced schizophrenia and you're on the right track.
Oh boy.
That's exactly what I was calling it. That's exactly what I called it.
Yeah. Cool. So have you done this?
I tulpa forced for a couple of years. I didn't have much luck. I got onto a level where I could feel the presence. I could like feel emotional reaction from it, but I never actually got anything to be visible to me or like get real communication going.
That's crazy. And is it like, from what I was reading on that forum, it's like pretty specific. Like there's a lot of stuff and it's like telling you, I guess there's like a lot of different steps that goes into like creating one. It's not just like,
yeah,
it's not just imagining it. It's like, there's like exercises that from what I was reading that you want to do.
You can't just make yourself hallucinate. It's like, you can't just say, I want to see, you know, a person over there. The interesting thing is, while you can't control really their personality to a lot of extent, because it is your subconscious, it's whatever your subconscious is like, you can sort of affect that in some ways, but it's gonna have basically whatever personality it's going to have. The main thing you can control is how it appears to you, and that's where the forcing comes in, tulpa forcing, because you'll sit there for hours a day if you have the time, and you'll just focus on, you know, what you want that tulpa to appear like. There are people that, you know, make just other humans. I have heard that it can be very uncanny valley when you do that, because the mind can't really make up a person like very well.
Some so, people...
go ahead.
Is this like associated with like people that associate as different kind of like, what do they call them, like kin, I guess is the suffix that a lot of people use.
Yeah, fox kin, that kind of thing.
Right.
Surprisingly, I didn't find many of those people in my experience with the Tulpas. One thing that I did notice, there wasn't a lot, but they were definitely a minority group that you could count with bronies would do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have like ponies as their Tulpas, and they would get really into it, and it was quite creepy, I have to admit. But
yeah, it was, that was something that popped up whenever I was looking earlier, was like some of the brony profile, like I guess it's like concept art that people do for what their Tulpa looks like. Yeah, they like, there's a lot of people that draw it out, I guess.
Yeah, that's one thing that helps you like focus on the things. If you're a good enough artist where you can get that image, you know, put down on the paper and you can focus on it, you can focus on the detail.
I wonder if I could start a business where I drew people's Tulpas for them.
Oh no.
I'm not sure if Tulpa creators are a very large audience though.
I was impressed with how large the forum was on this stuff. And just meeting you here, talking about it with experience about it, like that's surprising to me too, because I hadn't heard about it until he shared us the website.
It's a very fringe thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's very niche.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about weird stuff for coming up on, 3 years now? And this is the first I've ever heard of it.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, hearing about it, like, the way you describe it as being, like, a kind of a mind trick thing to be, like, I guess is more like an exercise to, like you said, make your subconscious more aware or prevalent. Like that I could see that as being beneficial and like making sense actually. Like instead of the way I was reading it on the forum, I didn't see those benefits listed out. I just saw it like as what my initial description of it was. Yeah, I had the wrong idea.
Yeah,
but. Viewing it as like an exercise to like better yourself, that's kind of neat, I guess.
It is. I've heard a lot of stories of like it bringing people out of depression. And,
right.
You know, sometimes it like it gives somebody someone to talk to, even if it's technically just themselves, I guess.
I talk to myself all the time.
Oh my gosh.
As long as you're not yelling yourself. Crazy.
Maybe I answer myself too. I'm just saying.
Right, well, you might be a little insane then.
How do you know you're not talking to your Tulpa, Christy?
Oh, see, that's true. Maybe I know.
That was part that I was reading about.
Right there, your Tulpa horsing.
Part of it that I was reading about was talking about they were calling it narrating, and that was one of the exercises, I guess, where you actually do sit there and talk to it, and you have to keep thought flowing to like keep like to make it seem realistic. Because I guess that's what you're doing is, yeah, like you said, convincing yourself.
Exactly. And just over time, you get more and more into it to where, like, you can feel more...
You consider it dangerous because of that? Like, is it...
I've never seen any evidence of it being dangerous to anyone, because the important thing to remember is, like, I describe it as a self-induced schizophrenia, but it is nothing like schizophrenia. Because
right. It's not actual clinical schizophrenia.
It can be stopped at any time. You're not creating any chemical imbalances in yourself. You're not going crazy. Like, you can go crazy otherwise, but it's not going to make you go crazy doing it. You're, you know, you're fully conscious and aware of what's happening and why it's happening, because you're the one doing it.
Have there been any kind of cases, I didn't look this up, have there been any kind of cases where people committed crimes or did crazy things and said, like, my Tulpa made me do it and stuff like this?
I don't doubt it.
Right.
Those people would be the kind of people that would just do that anyway. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, the voices in my head told me to do it. Just to,
right.
Because in the end of the day, that's what the Tulpa is the voice inside your head.
Something was saying that it's like, I don't know if I read it right, but maybe I was just, like I said, I was just kind of going through it, but like, this isn't a new concept. This is something that people have been doing for a while, I guess.
Oh, yeah. It's been around under some name or guise for many hundreds of years.
Right.
I wonder if Randy Orton has tulpas.
Oh boy.
His voice is in his head.
Oh god.
I don't know.
I knew that was gonna be said. It's always back to wrestling.
It kind of scares me though. I don't know. I think because of how. I think maybe because of my background and my belief system, you know, spiritually, that it would kind of, I don't know. I have a lot of thoughts of, like, demons and angels and stuff like that, and I'd be kind of scared that maybe I'm not knowing what I'm exactly
talking
to. Yeah,
Christy would be like, how do you know it's your tulpa? It could be a demon.
yeah, you know.
It's got a lot of
tulpa is a demon.
Ooh.
That's not funny.
What if a tulpa is an angel? Well, yeah, it's an angel. It's not supposed to be either of those. But what I'm saying is, what if you know?
It's kind of cool because
my luck is I would make a tulpa and I'd be like, "Hey, tulpa," and then like a demon would come in and be like, "You know,
I'm not really your tulpa, you."
Well, no, it wouldn't say that. It would just like straight up kill my tulpa and eat it, and then take its place or something.
That is actually that does remind me of another interesting fact that I've heard, like. Again, like, you can get rid of a tulpa at any time, basically, by ignoring it. And as long as you don't interact it or, like, acknowledge its existence, after a while, it just kind of fades away. I have heard that people feel, like, a distinct emptiness, though, after they've gotten rid of one for quite a while.
Wow. Yeah.
Because I guess, in a sense, it is, you are, like, destroying a part of yourself.
Right.
When you do that.
Initially, I thought a little bit about the Philip experiment.
I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, man. The Philip experiment, when did that happen? Let me look that up. The Philip experiment was a group of people that got together and basically created a ghost.
Yeah, like, I was thinking that was nice.
They got together, like, with the express intent to create a ghost, and it was from 1972. It says the Philip experiment was a 1972 parapsychology experiment conducted in Toronto, Ontario, to determine whether subjects can communicate with fictionalized ghosts through expectations of human will. So
that's interesting.
Yeah. It was like a documented thing, and I'm trying to remember what exactly happened. Okay, the experiment was conducted by the mathematician A.R.G. Owen and overseen by psychologist Dr. John Witten. And the test group consisted of A.R.G. Why is this guy A.R.G.? It's like initials. His wife, Iris Owen, former chairperson of Mensa, so it's like a smart person. And then some other dude's wife and all these other engineers, an accountant, a bookkeeper, and a sociology student. Their goal was to create a fictional character through purposeful methodology and then attempt to communicate with it through seance. The character created and agreed upon was named Philip Alisford, referred to as Philip during the test. His fictional history partially coincided with actual events and places, but with multiple contradictions and errors. He was born in 1624 in England and had a military career and was knighted at the age of 16. he was involved in the English Civil War and became a personal history what is that? Partially, personal friends with Charles II, working for him as a spy. So, he was married to a woman named Dorothea and later fell in love with a gypsy who later was accused of witchcraft and burned at the stake.
They created this whole entire backstory for this.
In
ghost.
Despair, Philip committed suicide in 1654 at the age of 30.
That's interesting. the whole backstory of a ghost.
Right. So they came up with this whole backstory, and then the group was seated around a table with initial seance yielding no contact, no communication, no phenomenon. Owen changed test conditions by dimming lights and changing environment to mimic that more of a traditional seance. Participants began to feel a presence, table vibrations, breezes, unexplained echoes, and rapping sounds, which matched responses to questions about Philip's life. At one point, the table tilted on a single leg. Despite these claims, neither apparition nor unexplained phenomenon were documented. So, that's kind of an interesting notion, too, that they had no kind of activity until they changed the conditions by dimming the lights and doing all this to mimic that of a traditional seance.
Mm-hmm. So the clinical test didn't work. That's pretty crazy.
But we've thought about
people created a ghost.
We've thought about trying to make a ghost before.
Mm.
Christy was.
We were gonna make one to put in the doll, right?
Yeah.
No.
Well, no.
That reminds me of like American Gods. I don't know. I know Kevin's.
Yeah, we were just talking about it earlier.
Yeah, I started watching the show, but I read the book too in the past. And it's like the idea of that is the gods in that book are ideas of characters that people have created, like Johnny Appleseed and stuff like that. And the more people who believe in that fictional character, the stronger they are, like the stronger of a god they are. And so like there's gods that are fading out and about to die because people don't really believe, like Johnny Appleseed, people don't believe in him anymore or really talk about him. So like it's kind of weird that I was talking about that today and now we're talking about this because it's the same general idea. It's like the more people you can get to make themselves believe something,
that's how
brings it into existence.
That's how the endless work in the Sandman comics too. I mean, they're written by a guy that also, and it's the same concept that like they only have power because people. Well, the endless are always going to be there, but there's other creatures that are only there because people believe in them or whatever, because people give power to them or whatever. So it's all governed by just the people believing in a thing. And so, yeah, some of these gods and American gods exist just because little kids believe in them. Like Santa Claus is real in that story because little kids believe him, but he's getting weaker and weaker. And the whole story is about like how people are worshiping new gods. They're worshiping like technology and television and things like this. And these ideas are becoming like sentient beings that are actually, that are like at war with the old gods. Like it's pretty neat.
That is interesting. Yeah.
Well, it's a really good book. I suggest the book, but there's a TV show that I haven't seen, but Kel's been watching it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've seen commercials for it.
Part of a lot of religious belief among many different religions, you know, is that, you know, this evil power exists, whether it's, you know, Satan, the devil, if you're Christian, you know, whatever you want to call it, but it, you know, the less you acknowledge it, the less power you give it, the less influence it has on you and those around you. So it sort of all revolves back down around that same, like, core belief.
Yeah. I find it the opposite. Like, the less I acknowledge evil stuff, the more it kind of sinks in.
You think?
Yeah.
We've been doing the opposite of that for a while. Has positivity pit been working?
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. I'm in good shape.
We've been practicing like positive mental attitude kind of stuff, like as a group, and I think it's been going well for me at least. Just like changing perspective or whatever.
We're creating an
creating your environment though is really what it is.
For some reason, when Kevin gets around me, he forgets about the positive.
Yeah, we were going to talk about this, dude.
Wait a minute.
It turns into negativity pit when I get around Kel, for sure.
Oh, no. Yeah.
That my tulpa comes out when I'm around Kel.
Oh, boy.
It's, like a mosh, it's more like a verbal mosh pit.
Are y'all too bad for each other? Is that what's going on?
We're a couple of bad, wild, and crazy boys.
Wild and crazy boys.
Wild and crazy boys.
Hey, those that are in the Mysterious Boom Voice channel here, while I'm thinking about it, people need to go to our our Discord. Yeah, I'm not getting messages and stuff. All right, if you go to mysteriousboom.com, which is real easy, then you can link to the Paranormal Discord there. And this is where we're recording. And you can come in, take a listen. And those that are in here listening, please go to the hashtag voice chat, text chat channel if you want to communicate with us. That way we can all be on the same page. Get it? Literally?
Get it.
So tulpas, Christy. What do you think about the tulpas?
Okay, so originally when I heard it, I mean, now that it's been explained to me, it's kind of a moot point, but I thought, like, okay, so grown-ups are creating imaginary friends. Mm-hmm. This is the impression that I got, not from delving into it, just from surface reading.
Well, you're not on the wrong path there. Like, that's another thing I said, like, the way I used to describe it, you know, it's like an imaginary friend on steroids. You can actually see and interact with it, though.
Right, well, when you're a child, from an adult perspective, the child can actually see and interact with that imaginary friend.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of like maybe children who aren't as distracted with all these other things we've been talking about have that purity to interact with their subconscious without having to spend hours a day trying to make it happen. Maybe that's something that's a natural order that we have stepped away from after so many decades of being distracted by so many other things.
Maybe you're not wrong there. I mean, I never noticed anything like that as a child. However, that does kind of make sense when you think about a lot of these stories you'll hear, like these children who are seeing and interacting with things in a way that you wouldn't normally expect.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
and
a lot of ghost stories like that.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking. So a lot of people show, and I've seen them as well, the videos of really young toddler age children, old enough to maybe speak some words but not explain themselves, looking off, talking to a person, they're calling them by a name or something that they assume is a ghost or a spirit or entity. What if it's the imaginary friend? What if it's their own subconscious that they are seeing?
Like, my little brother had an imaginary friend when we were kids.
I think it could be, dog. I don't think that's very far-fetched.
Yeah.
So and you think like, they're accidentally really making tulpas?
No, I don't think that they're accidentally making tulpas. I think that maybe this was a natural order of things that we're capable of communicating as children before we grow up and learn all the other things we're supposed to be doing and get distracted by life, electronics, all these other things that we were just talking about, and giving our energies to that when we're just within ourselves, like in our day and age, not now, like where there's social media and there's electronics everywhere you turn. Like, we had to go outside and play and then you just entertain yourself. You know, I mean, there wasn't things to distract you from just being with yourself. And I was a child that was an only child for 4 years before I had a sibling, and I apparently had an imaginary friend. I didn't think that they were imaginary. I thought they were real.
And tell us about that, Christine.
Okay, so, and I didn't really know that it was imaginary, but we lived in an apartment complex, and there was a window that opened up to, I guess, where would be the walkway outside, you know, where you walk up, and we lived on the second story, and my mom had fallen asleep in the recliner in the living room, and I was sitting in the window. The window was open. It was hot. We had fans going or whatever, and I was sitting in the window, and she said that when she woke up, she couldn't find me. She didn't know where I was, and I told her I went to my friend's house. And being an adult now, thinking about the recount that I gave her, it sounds pretty far-fetched, like I was off in some other world, because I went to her house and she had a room full of toys, and we got on one of those, what are they called? The bouncy horses. They had springs. I'm old. You know what I'm talking about.
Surprisingly, I do.
A hobby
right,
horse.
Right. Okay. Hobby horse. Thank you. So we got on one, and it was just amazing. And when I came back, I was just like, la la la, I'm coming back from a friend's house. And mom's like, where were you at? And I'm like, oh, I was over at my friend's house. And she's like, what friend? Where? Now, I thought, well, surely I had a friend in the apartment complex. My mom had no idea, and I just went over to her house. But my mom's like, there is no little girl over there.
Huh.
Okay.
Dun, dun, dun.
Creepy.
To me, it was my friend. Yeah. She'll tell you all about it. I got in all kinds of trouble for that.
Wow. So, that is, yeah. Something.
Yeah.
So did you So whenever she told you that, was that the last you ever saw this?
Yes, that's the last, as an adult, that's the last time I remember it. But that time stood out because probably I got in so much trouble for it. And I was just like, oh, yeah, I was just, like, it was second nature. I just went over to my friend's house. Like, it was no big deal, you know, that I was in that other time or mindset. It was in my mind that I was just at this person. I don't even know what I must have really been doing at the time. I just wasn't home. So I'm like, oh, I don't know. Maybe it was an interdimensional thing. Ooh, I'm just kidding. She's always talking about interdimensional things. I don't know.
But, wait, yeah. Interdimensional?
Well, something you were saying, like what you were saying initially about like the kids coming up with it without realizing or whatever. I was thinking earlier about how we always talk about Hat Man. And
right.
In the dream, this is like a lot of people view this as your subconscious, like coming and like being there with you, or like anything that you see in your dream is your subconscious being there, whatever. And so the fact that your mind could create that, like even just temporarily, like in a dream or whatever, like you're, that you're putting that there. Like, I mean, maybe the Tulpa thing isn't so hard to believe either, you know, like you could give a physical form to self-conscious that, and like it could be developed.
So,
because like I said, like whenever I first started seeing Hat Man or having that kind of experience, like it was scary the first few times, but then like I kind of, we were like cool or whatever, you know what I mean? Like I'm yeah, worried man. About him anymore.
What's up, bro?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the thing is though, is that from what we understand about the Tulpas, is that this is like your own personal experience and nobody else is ever gonna see this thing, but
yeah,
but like
I think it's different. And like, yeah, like the idea, we're all still speculating stuff, but in that form, and just like Oryx said, like it's pretty established and laid out exactly what it is, right? Huh? It's like it's not a mystery what Tulpas is what I'm saying. It's like they have a well thought out knowledge of what it is.
See, I even think they're different than imaginary friend like Christy had. I don't think that was a Tulpa.
I mean, they're obviously, you know, they're different from imaginary friends in a normal sense. I can't speak, you know, for Christy or what her experiences were, because obviously, not her, I mean, but it is, you know, the idea of, you know, as a child having your imaginary friend maybe actually being able to see it or whatnot, being a Tulpa, it's not very far-fetched to me. It's very plausible. I mean, some people even have really advanced their projection, I guess you would call it, of the Tulpa. And there are people who claim that they could have physical contact with it. You know, they could feel it.
Oh, wow.
Basically, and just, you know, up to like convincing yourself enough that it's actually there and realizing that, yeah, this is actually an entity here that I've created.
That's interesting.
There are people that have claimed they've done a lot of things with them.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, like high fives, exactly, right?
That's exactly what you're thinking.
High fives, yes. Oh, man. I want some like some visual. I try to look on YouTube about some Tulpa stuff, and a lot of the people that have made videos about Tulpas seem to be a little bit, I don't know what I'm trying to say. yeah.
That's a nice way.
I'm trying to think of a nice way to.
Couple cards short of a full deck.
Yeah, they're a little bit like, interesting. I think some of them are completely just using it to make up some YouTube hits or something.
I think that it's because, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, you're good.
I think that it may be because the vocal majority, you would call it, is people. The people who are more likely to be vocal about that and like go public and say like, I created this thing in my head that I talked to. It's more like the people who aren't going to care as much about saying that are going to be the people that are a little bit funky.
Right. No, you're right.
A lot of the people that I met, you know, you wouldn't tell them from any Joe on the street. Of course, I did meet some crazy people, believe me. But I would say that the vocal majority are probably going to be a little off, because the people who are less reserved, you know, they're more reserved, they're less likely to start speaking about that, less people think that they're a little off.
Right.
Right, I understand that completely.
Yeah. Bro T said he had an imaginary friend as a child. His parents still tell him about it. I bet his imaginary friend who broke Haley's chair, but anyway.
I told, okay, look at what Kel just said. It's so mean. I said, what was it like asking Bro T, what was it like having an imaginary friend? And I said, my brother had two when he was little, but I never had one. And Kel said that he took mine. My imaginary friend went and hung out with my brother.
Stealing them.
Jeez.
You're not cool enough, I guess.
Ian had an imaginary friend named Uka Masami.
Wait, what?
Really?
And he made that name up, Uka Masami, and it was his girlfriend.
Oh, whoa.
And they would play checkers all the time. He was like four.
As a child, I distinctly remember and know having two. I had Alex and I had Taco.
Huh.
And my parents loved to remind me of Taco because of his name.
Taco sounds like he'd be a cool dude.
Yeah.
He's
right.
Wild party Happy. Guy.
We're talking about imaginary friends and stuff on the show right now.
Yeah.
Do you remember your imaginary friends? No. Do you remember their names? I told you about it before.
They were the other two Powerpuff Girls in the
name. my buddy said that his was this guy said his imaginary friend name was Taco. Yours was Cornflakes and Sandpaper.
Wait, what?
Sandpaper? Was two guys, he had two guys. They were called Cornflakes and Sandpaper. They were like bad dudes too. They were always like mischievous.
That sounds like one of those 80s TV shows. Like Cornflakes and
Sandpaper. He said it's their fault that he lived the life he lived now.
Oh boy.
Cornflakes and Sandpaper.
I wouldn't trust that.
Later, brother.
I don't know. I'd be sooner to trust a man named Sandpaper than I would Cornflakes. Cornflakes just seems suspicious. You got something to hide if that's what people call you.
Hey, Kevin, whenever you was asking him about this, was he doing that thing where he's like waving his fingers underneath his neck and being like, no. Like,
yeah, I had to ask him about it. I didn't want to talk about it with him in the other room, but he came in the room, so I just asked him, put him on the spot about it real
there
quick.
There you go. Now he's leaving.
Yeah, he's like, going to my room.
Oh boy! He's going to his room.
That was cool. I just remembered that he had him whenever we were kids, and then he would just be like, "Yeah, that was his idea." He'd be like, "That was Cornflake's idea."
Oh boy!
So he tried to blame the imaginary friends for the things that.
Yeah, that was
classic
scapegoat.
Yeah,
Uka Masami did it.
Uka Masami.
It was probably like that thing where it happens in like TV shows, that old trope where like they're like, "Who did this?" And then there's like some sandpaper laying there on the table, and he's like, "My friend Sandpaper did." You know what I mean? Or is that, he's like eating cornflakes, and they're like, "Who did this?"
Cornflakes.
Fair enough.
It's like that movie Hiding Out. Have you ever seen it? It's an 80s movie. Nuh-uh. Probably not. Anyway, what's that guy's name? John Cryer. He's on the run from like some bad people that are trying to kill him. He's like an adult, but then he goes to like hide out with his cousin who's like a kid in high school. And they ask him what his name is, and he's like, he's looking around the room at the principal, and he sees a Maxwell House coffee can. He's like, "Maxwell." And then she's like, "Maxwell Watt." And he's like, "Hauser." You know, he's just.
Oh, my God.
So that's what you're talking about. That's what your brother did.
Who right.
Did cornflake. He was out in the garage where they were sanding some wood. Sandpaper did it.
I never had imaginary friends. I think I just talked to my stuffed animals. Like, I had an E.T., and E.T. Yeah. would, like, always say cuss words. Like, I would bring E.T. out in the living room. Well, okay, I say always say cuss words. I know of one story, but I would bring E.T. out in the living room, and I'd sit him in the corner, and my mom would be like, "Oh, what did E.T. do this time?" And I'd be like, "Well, E.T. broke a crayon." So he's sitting in the corner. And then, like, one morning, my mom was cooking my grandpa breakfast. They were visiting, and I brought E.T. out, and I sat him in the corner. My mom said, "You know, what did E.T. do this time?" And I said, "Mom, E.T. said..." And my grandpa turned, like, bright red, and my mom was like, "Oh, well, where did you hear that?" And I was like, Well, Brian says it all the time. It was this kid I went to daycare with. He says it all the time, and so does his mom. It was terrible. Yeah,
but
I would blame things on my stuffed animals. Yeah, I threw E.T. under the bus too. I felt really bad.
Yeah.
I never had an imaginary friend. Later. I did. Whenever I would see like shadow people in the hallway, I would close my eyes and think of RoboCop.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Save me, Tom Cruise.
It was the '80s, you know.
We were talking about E.T. at work not too long ago, and saying that it's kind of weird how, like, quickly from the kid making contact with the alien, that now the alien's in a dress. Like, it's just immediately, like, almost a couple of scenes later, the alien's like walking around the house in a dress. Like, it's just funny going back and watching E.T. because there's a lot of layers to that movie.
I haven't seen it in a long time. I remember seeing it as a kid.
Man. You want to talk about a movie I was scared to watch when I was a kid?
Was that E.T.?
It was definitely E.T. I would skip that whole quarantine section at the end. I would like fast forward. I'd fast forward to when the bike took off and be like, "The end." Turned off.
I've never seen E.T.
Really?
I haven't seen it since.
Sorry for spoilers, but it's not much. Like I said, there's a lot of stuff in that movie.
There's
that
a scary
I didn't
part.
Realize when I was a kid.
I just don't, like, I never really watched much TV or movies, and I still don't.
It's not a bad thing, like, honestly.
The most movie watching I do is I have a group of friends and I get together every Friday and we watch a movie. You know, we stream it and all watch it at the same time.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, me and Kel just did that last week. We're going to start doing that more often, I think.
What did we watch? No, we didn't watch Casablanca. We watched
Citizen Kane. Oh my God, it's Citizen Kane.
So when
he put him through the table.
When you do this, are you gonna like record it?
No, we can't. It's illegal.
Oh yeah.
We could record the audio. We could record the audio separately. That's what Riff Tracks does. I mean, if we really wanted to do like commentary,
yeah, there's a lot of podcasts that are commentaries.
Yeah. So we could do that, and I mean, it was pretty funny, but it was also like.
Yeah, we did get in trouble for doing
video. We were talking a lot of mess.
One. A lot of mess about Citizen Kane. It's like
it was a good movie, but it was just there was I don't even remember what mess we were talking about it. I didn't really have any criticisms of it. It was good.
It really was. We were just making our rude jokes. We were having the negativity mosh pit.
Tripped me out that movie. Oh yeah, we could do it on Discord is what somebody's saying, I guess, where we just watch the movie and then commentary it.
Yeah.
What was I gonna say? I forget what I was gonna say. Citizen Kane, that's all.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was good.
I've heard it's like supposed to be like one of the greatest movies ever.
Yeah, it was crazy because the dude was so young whenever he made it, dog. He was like 26 when he made that movie. And then whenever he made War of the Worlds, I think it was War of the Worlds, or either that one or The Day the Earth Still, George Orwell.
It's the same guy.
Yeah.
Was he the actor or like the...
It's the War of the Worlds. He was 23 when he did the War of the Worlds thing. He wrote that, and he was an actor in Citizen Kane. He plays Kane, and then he directed and wrote it and stuff. And it was pretty good. I mean, for that, and in the movie, he plays like the man at different stages in his life, and so he plays him at like different ages or whatever through the whole thing. And did a pretty dang good job of that. The makeup, and it's like supposed to be like really good practical effects that they used too. They did a lot of like crazy set work that they hadn't done on movies yet, where they had collapsible sets and stuff like this that they did.
I can totally see how that at its time was the greatest movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually haven't seen the movie in a long time. I saw it like years ago. I should watch it again.
I saw it when it came out. I hadn't watched it since.
Wait, and then it is out, like a tragic ass movie.
How old are you, Cal?
Not really.
Okay. You one of the vampires?
Yep.
Our next topic is Cal.
You've been hanging out with Keanu Reeves?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Bro-T. No.
Oh, that's funny.
He's talking the entire time. Poor guy. What do you think the little microphone muted icon means right after your name?
I think it's a work. I think he knows.
It's a work.
It's a work. He's working us.
He's always working it. All right. So we had a interesting proposition come up. I don't know if I think I messaged you guys about it, about going to spend a night in the Big Thicket.
Dude, you know how big the mosquitoes are out there?
Oh God!
Well,
yeah.
I mean, it's the Big Thicket, so. And that would be Ghost Road. We'd be going to Ghost Road, the famous Ghost Road.
You can't, like, camp in a tent out there?
Well, he says that, well, I mean, Big Thicket and Ghost Road are, like, next to each other. And, he says if you go to the park or whatever, something out there, you can get an authorized thing, like a permit to camp or something out there. So, we're going to go check out Ghost Road, the 8 miles of horror.
I'll come cook hot dogs for everybody, but I'm not camping.
And then, yeah. Well, you can go home, I guess.
I'll pre-cook the hot dogs and bring them out there, and then I'll leave.
You just bring the hot dogs immediately, get in your car, and drive away.
Yeah. I can't go, but I'm going to let my tulpa go.
Oh, no.
Send the tulpa in your stead.
There you go. Yeah, well, I plan on heading out there towards those Indian reservations because I'm interested in skinwalkers.
Oh, dude.
I'm traveling across the country soon.
Oh, really? Like the Skinwalker Ranch type place?
I haven't heard of Skinwalker Ranch, but usually you hear about the stories all around the Native American reservations. I think I'm going to say the Indian.
We had a...
Stop myself for that.
Somebody shared a story. I think it was Tristan Gnarly Martin shared a story on the page about the Dark Watchers.
Know. Yeah.
And they were like a Native American, like, folklore thing that people say they still see them out in, they're in the California area. They're in Santa Lucia Mountains. But they're like these tall, skinny, dark figures that whenever you get close to them, they disappear. But supposedly people have been seeing them. Says John Steinbeck's son reported seeing one.
Hmm.
The writer. There's like old there's old text talking about them, and then there's like stuff from the 1930s and up talking about them.
Interesting.
But who knows what they are. I think it's just shadows, dog. Watchers.
I think before we go, Christy, we need to get some of this Bigfoot juice.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yes.
No, I'm serious.
See if you can attract the Sasquatch.
Yeah, it's like $7.
Hopefully
bucks.
It won't sexually assault you.
Yeah, well, I hope not.
Hopefully.
Well, I don't know, maybe.
A sassy.
How do you know what to put in to attract the Bigfoot? That's what I want to know. So,
okay. This woman I'm going to be honest here. Like, one common trope I hear is that any time women are on their period, that's an attractant to the Sasquatch. So I'd assume it's based something off of that.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
There was the one guy who nailed a rack of ribs to the tree to get the Sasquatch.
Network.
We talked about
I know somebody
it.
Who
we
did
talked
that.
About that on the show, I'm pretty sure.
I'm going to be honest. My dad did that.
Yeah.
Just nail a slab of ribs on the tree.
Yep.
Did y'all ever play the game Bigfoot on Steam?
No.
I didn't get it because you gave me a mixed review. Should I get it?
I don't know. I haven't played it much. How expensive is it? We'll go by that. If it's
I think
not
it's
that
like, expensive. I think it's like 12 to 20 bucks.
I'm not buying that.
Yeah. We haven't, Chrissy. That's gonna be
G2A.
Our homework. We're gonna have to do it. Yeah,
no,
yeah. G2A.
Don't promote G2A, man. It's a horrible website.
Let's see. Let me figure out this Bigfoot juice. Okay, the Bigfoot juice. It had honest creation, Christy. It's environmentally friendly. Bigfoot juice.
Oh, that's so clearing the mind.
Kevin, it doubles as a bug spray.
Yeah, no.
So
we should bring some to the big thicket just for
sitting
that.
Her yeah. kitchen table.
Well, that's why we're going to the big thicket, because there's rumors of Sasquatch out there.
So it's only $7 a bottle.
We're gonna go look for ghosts. We're gonna look for big feet.
Big feet.
I mean.
Yeah, they should have two, right?
Well, what else are you going to call them? Bigfoots?
Yeah, Bigfoots. Well, yeah. I'm using proper grammar here. Come on. There is anecdotal proof that her spray does, in fact, attract a Bigfoot. Field tests
anecdotal.
Have been...
Anecdotal.
Yeah. Field tests have been done, she says. And they include a recent outing by the research group Bigfoot 911. Wait, Bigfoot 911? Oh, boy. In which a Bigfoot sighting was reported. It happened in the first week of August in the woods of McDowell County. The report made national news. And she says, I think that's enough to say it can attract a Bigfoot.
Yeah, I'm sure. I just made this new tree attractant. I walked into the forest and there were a lot of trees. It works.
Yeah, so I think she said that she accidentally made it. Where did I see that? Oh, her husband is a member of Bigfoot 911 since 2004. So there you go. On the night of August 4th, hey, it's my birthday. When Bigfoot 911 reported a large bipedal animal covered in hair. Her husband didn't see the Bigfoot himself, but he is a believer. And she gives him a lot of credit for the Bigfoot juice. He was just using her home concocted bug spray during Bigfoot hunts and asked her to make something a little less quote-unquote feminine smelling. She started whipping things together and found a more musky outdoor smell. Next thing you know, team spots a Bigfoot.
Pea smell.
So basically, she she was trying to make a bug spray that didn't smell feminine. And it ended up attracting a Bigfoot, allegedly. So, $7.
That's great.
We'll have to get some before we go to the woods, Christine. Just
oh boy,
test the theory here about the Bigfoot spray.
Oh, I went on to read this, and it says Corey Webb guesses the secret of the juice is that it masks human odors, which could frighten a Bigfoot. She said, honestly, I don't know if it's a key to finding Bigfoot, but it's definitely not going to hurt your chances. I'm sorry, that's a he, but
might
still,
as well.
Yeah. So basically, big feet are running around all the time until the humans get out there, and then they're scared, so they can't smell you.
If that's her logic, then you could... Oh, no, never mind. That was because of the body temperature. I was going to say you could pull an Arnold from Predator and just coat mud all over yourself.
Yeah.
Well, one trick, you know, we use hunting is we'll take some pine needles, crush them up, and rub that over, you know, our clothes and stuff to mask our scent from deer.
Yeah, to me it seems like, yeah, why don't you just do the same thing you would hunt any other animal?
Yeah, exactly. I like Abbott's comment of the Bigfoot is just hopping on one leg and pogo sticks around.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to see one, tie your legs together, hop and keep grunting. They'll think you're a fellow Bigfoot and hop over.
See, there's an idea.
They should just leave a bunch of cool stuff out in the forest. They should just leave like a trampoline, like some bean bags, like bags of Jack Links out there. Have Jack Links done
a man cave for Bigfoot? What's the plan for this?
Jack Links should do a campaign where they actually put jerky out in the wild to see if they can rustle up a real Bigfoot.
I've always thought that
a raccoon.
Oh god!
Commercial.
We need to get some Jack Links when we go to the big thicket too.
Oh boy!
Just to be,
you're going for it, aren't you?
We're going all out, Christy.
Dude, what if you just left some really big shoes out there? Like that seems like something he'd need.
Yeah.
Like what size do you think we should get? Like just the biggest you can get.
Michael Jordan size, whatever that is.
27.
Or Shaq size.
I bet that would be expensive,
yeah,
though.
That's what Brody says.
But Shaq size, but bigger. Maybe we can
take some steel Shaq shoes and get them wet and stretch them out.
Maybe we can get some like plywood and some twine and make like a Bigfoot sandal.
Yeah. Yeah, he could probably do clown shoes. Totally.
Oh, yeah.
Bigfoot's a juggalo.
Hey.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Well, then, Bigfoot already sounds like some Juggalo rapper's name, actually.
Hey, they actually have, like, if you watch the shows, they're out there, like, whooping in the woods. Like, whoop, whoop.
Yeah, I've seen those guys. So Jamin posts those guys on there, huh?
Yeah. So maybe he is a Juggalo.
That's my reaction to this.
No. And the people who are listening to the podcast after the fact, you have to go to Discord while we're recording to see the chat. You're missing the pictures. I'm not going to describe them to you. You have to go there and see for yourself. So if you want the full Mysterious Boom experience, join us as we record. The link is at mysteriousboom.com. So, Karen also said that at the end of Bragg Road, which is Ghost Road, that there's like a cemetery where there's like a grave outside of the cemetery. Hmm. And she said it's a pretty...
Because somebody couldn't do their job right.
Right? You had one job. Let's see, where did
see the big
that?
Fence. You put the grave inside of that big fence.
Maybe it moved.
She says, be sure...
A mysterious
tombstone.
Just gets up, walks out of the cemetery, and pops itself down somewhere else.
What like if a shark. This?
The gravestone is the shark fin for a zombie. So the zombie travels under the ground, and the gravestone travels above him.
I think this happened. I think there was a ghost that came up, and it came out of the cemetery. Then, like, a ghost hunter killed the ghost, and that's where it dropped dead. And they're like, well, we got to move its tombstone.
Oh, boy. No, the ghost got tired of its neighbors.
Oh, I can imagine that. What if it's, you know how I have like them family burial places? What if, you know, they weren't really fond of their family members?
Yeah.
So it's just like, I'm packing up, moving over here.
Now you're going to make it, sad and dark.
I wasn't fond of my family members and I was like, worried about like being buried next to them, I would handle all that before I died. Just saying.
Yeah.
Burial at sea, please.
Oh no! Is that like a real thing you can do?
I don't know. Funeral pyre.
You gotta pay for it.
Push me out on a raft and shoot a flaming arrow at me. And...
Viking funeral.
Yeah.
If there's a hurricane and it floods again, just
I want one of those. I want you to do that thing they do in Mexico where they dig me up and I hang out with y'all.
Oh no!
One night every year.
No.
We just get lit again.
No. Weekend at Bernie's was in Mexico?
Yeah.
I don't know if that was Mexico. I know it was like some place. I know what you're talking about, though. We've seen the pictures of it.
They do it in some kind of like, some kind of...
Spanish origin country.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of where it was. But yeah, they dig the skeletons up and set them up in the house, and everybody parties with the dead bodies in the house.
That's a little bit too much.
Brody says Peru.
Right, well, I know to stay away from Peru.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, look, I'm looking at pictures of Bragg Road. There's like a bus, like an old, I don't know what the hell is wrong with this bus. It looks like it's been burned out and it's just sitting on the road.
That's crazy.
Party bus.
For ghosts.
What? That's why it's so dilapidated. It's just a ghost party bus.
Right. Mm-hmm. Chrissy, are you scared to go to the ghost road?
Yes.
Dilapidated
are you
bus.
Serious?
It's called Ghost Road.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell Shaggy we're going to have two choices. Ghost Road or Demon Road. Which one?
Neither.
Oh,
what are you more afraid of?
Come on.
I'm going to say Ghost Road because I don't like demons.
Demons? Yeah, demons are bad.
You're more afraid of demons?
Road. We didn't go to Demon Road.
I thought that's
no,
where you
we went.
Went
to Patterson Road.
Oh, yeah. And you got the. I'm sorry.
We got the Satan spear from Patterson Road. We didn't get the
that's
demon ball. The demon. I don't know. I can't find a word to rhyme with demon. That's relates to a ball. But Christy,
I'm like, I'll just hitch a ride back with Kel after he drops off the hot dogs.
Oh no.
Well, you could just come with OT to set up camp the day before, and that way you could say you at least helped. Because that's OT said he's going to come the day before and set up camp for everybody, and then he's going to go.
Yeah, Patterson Road was nothing but snakes and barking spiders when we went. But we were looking for the
barking spiders.
The cultist area. Yeah. Shaggy actually brought that up on the latest episode of Perspective 2.
Yeah, I'll listen spiders. To that later.
But that was a letdown. We need something that's popping, Chris. I think Ghost Road, and if Ghost Road doesn't pop and Big Thicket doesn't pop, then maybe it's time to go to
step on up to Demon Road.
Demon Road.
Or Blood Road.
Blood Road was in Baytown, wasn't it? It's not there anymore.
Oh really?
They paved over it.
They paved over the blood. That's at least that's what I heard. Dude, I'm still up on Sarah's grave.
He really wants to go to Sarah's grave so badly.
Yeah,
I heard you just gotta, can't get there.
Yeah, I know. It's like inside of like a
dimensional rift.
Yeah. It'd probably be.
We cannot get there.
It'd be easier if it was a dimensional rift to get there than.
Yeah, probably so.
Than it being over here in like some chemical plant's property now.
What was the plan? Was to get Ricky to lay down in Sarah's grave?
Yes.
Yeah.
At midnight, but not tell him. See what happens.
Why don't you just have a little lay down there, Ricky?
It doesn't have to. Yeah, it doesn't have to be midnight, Christy.
I thought that was the thing. It had to be at midnight.
See, what we would do is we were going to tell him we were going to go on a picnic, and we weren't going to tell him anything about it.
And be like, midnight.
Yeah, no, not midnight. It doesn't have to be midnight. Stop at the midnight.
It has to be 3 a.m. You got the times wrong.
Yeah, okay. 3 a.m. is the new.
It's basically
3 a.m.
It has to be 3 a.m. if you're on the East Coast. Midnight if you're on the West Coast.
Oh, wait a minute.
Ghosts don't follow time zones.
See, I just
you got to account for daylight savings time. You didn't think about that, did you?
To mean moonlight savings time?
Yeah. So. Yeah, we were going to have him camp, and we're going to, hey, Ricky, this is your spot. Lay him out a blanket right on Sarah's grave, and then when he lays down on it and starts to get pulled down into the ground by...
Drag me to hell style?
The ghosts of Sarah.
We'll all chant, it's not his time while it's happening.
Oh, my gosh!
Will we grab him and pull him from the grave, or we will just, like...
We'll just tie a rope around his waist.
Hope it spits him out.
Oh, my gosh.
Hope it spits him out.
Yeah, that's a big bummer, dude.
My buddy James drew a picture of me. I don't know if I told you about it. You know that movie, Drag Me to Hell, right? Y'all seen that?
I know what you're talking about. I haven't seen it, but I've seen clips.
I figured y'all might have watched it for Chrissy Hates Horror or something.
No, that podcast died out.
Yeah. Yeah, Chrissy, well, I know, but back in the day, I didn't know.
Chrissy doesn't like horror, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was thinking about that. I'd like to hear some more of that.
Yeah. Look what you
did. Yeah, she don't want to do it. What was I saying? Okay, so in Drag Me to Hell, they like literally what happens, like demons come up and drag people to hell or whatever. And so my buddy James drew a picture of me getting dragged to hell.
Oh no.
And I'm getting dragged to hell and I'm like, James, help me. And he's like, first give me back my Metroid game.
I borrowed
Metroid.
You know what? You deserve it then.
This is a highly detailed, scary picture of me being dragged to hell though.
Do you have this picture? Like,
he might have it still. Oh. We did take pictures of a lot of that stuff. But I don't know.
Could have been a good cover for this episode, but you know. Like, so is it like from back in the day, like the legendary Fogo picture?
Yeah. It definitely is like that. Yeah.
Cool. Christine. See, Chrissy says that when we go to the Big Thicket that she's just going to stay at the camp.
That's my intention. I don't need to be going around, walking around in the dark. Y'all be having to bring
we're
me
gonna
back.
We're going to go during the day.
Falling down.
Will you get snacks ready and stuff at camp while we're gone, and then we can come back and
so you're
snacks?
Camping?
No, I'm not going to stay there like overnight, but I'll still eat snacks.
And he'll still walk around in the woods.
Yeah.
We've walked around in the woods before in the dark, Chrissy. It's not that bad. Although
I would totally come do the woods walking, but I'm so like not down for camping that I even if it was like 3 hours away, like I would drive 3 hours home just to not have to camp.
Why? Why wouldn't you just stay and sleep? Like, you don't have to sleep on the ground. You can take an air mattress.
I have to sleep, like, with a fan in my face and, like, at least 70 degrees. It's 69 degrees air conditioning.
Okay.
Like, I'm such a wimp, dude.
Now, you know what? The only time I've ever been camping is we've gone to state parks. And we've always had campsites that have electricity and water, like, hookups on the pad. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm kind of the same way. I'm kind of afraid to go camping without a fan.
He has a tent fan. I mean,
let's get an RV.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we'll have to look at it. Can you like rent an RV and stuff?
That would be cool. I bet you can somewhere.
You get like,
I know that there's people on Craigslist that'll rent their RVs out because we rented an RV for a paintball trip 1 year.
I wonder if we know somebody with an RV. Hey, can we borrow your RV to go looking for Bigfoots and ghosts?
I'm supposed to be getting up tomorrow and driving 2 hours to go look at an RV. Speaking of that.
Oh, really? Now we know somebody who might have an RV.
Oh, gosh.
mail it to us so we can borrow it.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a little bit expensive priority mail.
Oh, I'll pay postage. It would be more for postage than it would be for us to just go buy an RV.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree.
Yeah, you could just straight up buy
one. You could
probably
get it ferried for like $1,000.
I wonder if you could just hire somebody to drive it to you and then like catch a train home.
That's what I mean. Like,
that's like them. Have you ever seen them show like shipping moors or whatever? You could probably do that. There's a website where you can hire people to curry stuff.
Curry?
Curry, you said it.
Just somebody's gonna cook you a nice curry.
Yeah. Well, what else, what do you call it? Okay, ship stuff.
You're just hiring them to curry stuff. They'll just show up. Yeah, can you curry my RV? Yeah, I'll show up and sprinkle some curry powder on it.
Yeah, that would be funny. Are you a carrier? Yes, I am. Just run around sprinkling curry on things. Look, Chrissy's looking up right now.
Well, there are places that rent RVs. I'll check them out.
Look, is that one? Head. That one? Look, no, this one looks closer. Where are you going?
I'm going back. Calm down. Just a click.
There is no room for calm.
Number 9.
Click on number 9. Okay. That's not looking very good. That's RV trailer hauling.
Oh well.
That's not the good one.
I thought that was in Crosby.
Nope, Crosby's on the outside of the loop.
What?
Yeah. Oh, boy. They're out of the loop in Crosby.
He's looking inside the belt. Cracking me up.
Keep it above the belt.
Let's go camping in Newport on those people's yard.
Yeah.
What? No, we can't do that.
Why not?
Because it's somebody's yard. We won't have permission. We could probably park it in the street.
Oh, boy.
That would be horrible, though. Like, what are these people doing?
I have a bunch of RVs just surrounding the neighborhood. We're here looking for your ghost.
Look for the Black Hope Cemetery. Leave us alone.
Wait, what did you say?
The cemetery. Why else would we be out there? And parking in people's yards. You just really want to go park in people's yards?
How's it been not living in Newport? You've been out of there for a long time, Kevin, like not living in haunted Crosby. Has your life felt more at ease not living in a haunted area?
It's been, I would never thought I'd say this sentence, but it's been better living in Baytown.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Hey, but, watch it.
But, Crosby, like, all the activity died down, like, probably a little over a couple years ago, right?
I think we kind of solved the issues,
I think that our presence just stopped all the...
We went kicking down that? Doors.
What's that show called, Eureka, where it's, like, a town where all the weird stuff happens?
Eureka's Castle?
Eerie, Indiana?
I don't think so.
Oh, that was the puppet
What's
show
in
on
the
Nickelodeon.
TV show, Eureka?
I don't think meth is weird stuff happening...
Oh, no.
They got that in Crosby.
Somebody mentioned Gary, Indiana. And I'm just saying.
Yeah, they had the booms out there for a long time. And people were like, Tannerite, we know better. But...
Yeah. It was like,
well, how come the Tannerite just
Tannerite.
Stopped all of a sudden?
Yeah, you can still buy it. You can go to Academy and buy Tannerite. I've seen it.
As soon as we talked about Tannerite, all the weird activity stopped.
Maybe that's like
it was the, like right when we had that show.
Was that the key word, like to make the whatever that's mysterious? The safe word. Yeah, what?
Just BDSM goes like, oh damn it.
Yeah, like the demons were like, oh, they said the safe word. We gotta leave.
That dang chemical plant blew up over there and threw all them chemical debris all over the town. So maybe we'll get some like
mutated
X-Men. Yeah, like some X-Men over there soon or something.
Mutants. Different squill variants.
Mutants yeah, versus this ghost.
Yeah, giant raccoons over there.
You think the chemicals will mutate people so that they learn how to spell on Crosby Crime Watch? Or?
Oh, dang. Capping on them boys.
Oh, sorry. Hey, that was where some of our favorite cryptids got created. You know, mm-hmm. The Reekers and
some of the best crowds. Paranormal activity stuff we got come off of the Community Crime Watch page for Crosby, Texas.
Is there one in Baytown? Do we need to like
being a ghost is not a crime.
Being a ghost is not a crime. You're right. And if it was, then what are they going to do about it, honestly?
What are you going to do, arrest me?
Well, they did have Ghostbusters had like these things they threw on the ground.
Right.
And they would like shoot light up and suck a ghost in. We should get something like, how come we don't have stuff like that?
To catch them?
Yeah. We're always like going out with these little.
We're just trying to talk to them and like see if they're even there in the first place. We little, need to just stick them in a box.
Hugging the ghost is the second step. We haven't even figured out the first step yet.
Hey, he's got a good idea. Instead of being ghost hunters, maybe we could be ghost comforters. Yeah. We can be
isn't
like,
that what the oh new God, Ghostbuster?
What have I done?
The new Ghostbuster movie was just a bunch of ladies. They weren't tough. They were probably just hugging ghosts and apologizing. Kills.
Nah, they were still shooting them with the things.
Oh my gosh.
It's a joke. It's a joke. It's all fun.
This is how Kel feels. Are the Kel's feelings do not reflect the views
no,
of
no, that's my tulpa. That's my tulpa.
Kel was like,
that's
using...
even worse, kind of. That's even worse if it is your tulpa saying that stuff.
That means that's the... yeah, that's your subconscious.
Yeah, that's
I wasn't
a deep...
apologizing to y'all. I was apologizing to my tulpa.
That's a deep down, Kel. But now we know. Now we know. No, but we could like you know comfort the ghost and talk about its feelings and stuff.
Give him our phone number.
Man, you might have come up with a good business venture there. Before you release this podcast, I would go ahead and get that business registered so you...
let me go on GoDaddy and...
So people can't... Ghost can't get you there.
Ghostcounselors.com. How about that?
Look, check this out, okay?
Ghost therapist, that's it.
I just got an idea. What if we party with the ghosts?
Ooh.
Okay, now they're think of it this way. In horror movies, scary stuff always happens when people are partying, right? When the party's going down,
maybe they
then the stuff starts going down. So what if we made a company where we book bomb parties at haunted locations and then we just throw awesome parties and hope that it stirs up some paranormal activity.
Oh, well.
And then we're just party planners.
So then, we can have two different divisions here, like the ghost party or the ghost therapist.
You think that options. Exists already?
If you're a ghost, you've got options with you guys.
Right.
Let's come up with like five ideas and do them all at the same time.
Sequel to Project X. Project
just
X
see
two.
Which one of them takes off.
That would be an interesting concept. We can set up like a lounge couch where they can sit down and talk, or we can set up like a disco ball in another part of the woods.
Oh, a photo booth?
A photo booth, yes.
Yeah.
Are we seriously talking about having a ghost disco?
Oh, yes. What about a ghost prom? Because a lot of them are like young girls who died on the way home from prom or something. They're always like wearing white dresses.
Oh my gosh.
And stuff. What if we recreate the prom? And they, you know, we just pretend that they never died and we can just keep going back and keep pretending
yeah,
go, they never just, die.
Yeah, go to the local high school that just closed down like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Break in, you know, bring all your filming equipment, all your prom decorations.
Hire a DJ. How weird would it be for the DJ to hire?
Your real DJ shows up.
Yeah. You just show up to the...
Where's all the people?
You just get a text message. Guys, I think I showed up to the wrong place. This school is closed down.
You're like, no,
it's
buddy.
It's all dilapidated and grown up. No, you're in the right place. Check in the window. There's a check in the back. There's a window broken open.
Yeah, ghost prom. It's happening. We
can't do the ghost therapist thing. I mean, maybe we could, but there is already a ghost therapist.
What?
There's already...
Time travelers. They stole our idea. They came back, listened to the show. It's Brody.
Oh, yeah. Dang.
Brody did it.
It's Brody. He's a time traveler. He came back, listened to our show to get the idea originally, and now he's stealing it.
See, that's what happens. It backfired doing live recordings.
Right, immediately. We altered the timeline. You realize that.
Para Party Planners. Hey, that's a good idea. That's a good name right there.
Party ghouls.
Make them coffee. Give them flowers.
This is my first time in the past. He even admits it.
Oh, no.
That's how you can tell if somebody's a time traveler. If they admit it, then
100% proof there. You can't deny that. It's indisputable.
The ghost therapists also ghost themselves. Ooh.
That's what we'll do. One of us has to become a ghost, guys.
Oh, okay. No.
No.
I not 1, 2, 3. Seven. 1, 2, 3, not it.
No, oh, I'm touching my nose.
I had my finger on my nose.
Me too.
I had my finger in my nose. Yeah. Oh. Coincidence. Does that count?
No, you're good.
Every time we do a podcast, we break Christy multiple times in some way.
Yeah. That's not hard.
It isn't hard.
No.
She's not broken. That means she's functioning perfectly normal.
Right. That's correct. Whoever loses can come record EVPs.
Oh.
They'll be the artist. You'll be recording them.
Yeah, we'll finally lay down that stuff that Diddy doesn't want.
Oh, man, I wonder what ever happened to that guy.
That was crazy. Did you see this book that got posted in our page?
Let me
kind of
Necronomicon?
Kind of wanted... I think I closed it. No, I got it. So, this guy... We'll promote it. We'll promote it a little bit. I looked at the reviews. I didn't buy the book. But this guy posted in our page, and I was just trying to find out, honestly, if he's listening to the show or if he's a listener, like, forgive me. But looking at his page, it's hard to tell if he's really the real person or not. Or if it's a catfish account. And then there's, like, other posts. I didn't send a friend request, though. But this guy's name is Rookie... Berwick. Okay. He wrote a book called Forest of Savages. It's on Amazon. I looked at the Amazon link. Forest of Savages got 4 stars. And it's about a place in Idaho. And this man's body is found. Like, this man's like an old woodsman that lives out in Idaho and has found all mangled and stuff. And turns out there's like a group of Bigfoot, a group of Sasquatch that are wreaking havoc on this, like, Iowa town or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's, like, a little, like, independently produced book. He came into our page, and it just says, Fast-Paced Monster Horror. So, I don't know. He probably just went around paranormal groups and posted it in here.
Probably so.
And...
It sounds like...
Yeah. But I did look at the book, and then I looked at the reviews, and it's just hard to tell. I'm, like, obsessed with finding out stuff. I mean, that's kind of the point of why we're doing this. Too, I guess, but on a different level, I'm obsessed with finding out if stuff is real or fake as far as like online. You know what I mean? Like, I do not like fake news or just like weird stuff. And some of the reviews
fake news
are honest and some of them are kind of weird. But I think
some of these reviews
says that the grammar in the book is really bad. But okay, so then this is the crazy part. Looked up the Rookie Berwick guy, I googled that name. And he's on IMDb as a writer for a lot of different films and TV shows.
Really?
And then there's pictures of him. There's 2 pictures. There's a picture on his Amazon page of him, one of the Amazon pages. and he looks like a young kid, but it says he was born in 1980. So I don't know if he's using an old picture yeah. or if he's just hasn't looks like he is a young guy or whatever. And then so like on his IMDb, you can tell that he put some stuff on here. Like I said, Rookie, if you're listening, I'm just trying to figure out if this really was you, whatever. Because it seems like even this IMDb.
Oh my gosh. You're a robot, Kevin. You're a robot. We're robots. We're all robots.
Yeah.
Oh no. It sounds like a bad auto-tune song at this point. Are we back?
Hello.
Are we here? Are we normal? See what happened? You started talking about Rookie.
Look, he hacked this. Okay.
We said his name three times. We've summoned it.
Oh my god. It says his height is 6 foot seven and a half.
Shut up.
It says this guy's 6 foot seven. Said that he was a writer on Mad About You.
He's dead.
Oh no.
Rookie got to him. Oh man.
Rookie is the best writer ever. Rookie is awesome. Rookie, don't kill us. Or any more of us, at least.
You know what? I don't believe any of this, Rookie.
Oh no. Oh no. Oh my lord.
Everybody's dead.
Everybody's dead. Kel's still with us. Kel's alive.
Hi, Kel.
I don't know that.
Kel, don't say anything about Rookie.
Ricky.
Rookie on the roof? No, no, don't say it.
It ain't so.
Kevin says he's got us Ricky. Right where he wants us. Oh no.
Rookie on the roof, dude.
Rookie on the roof.
Oh man.
Okay, guys, look. I think Rookie might just be like a new. Okay, I gotta read. Are y'all on his IMDb?
Can somebody? Yeah. Is that actually how you spell his name, Kevin?
Rookie. Yeah.
R O O.
It's not Brunswick though. It's Berwick. I did spell his last name wrong.
Okay, Berwick.
So I don't know if y'all heard me because it fell out right then. But so on his IMDb page, everything that he's credited for is uncredited. It all says that he did it, but it was uncredited.
This is just a guy who's made up a profile for an internet dating site. He's like, come on, I guess I'm 6 foot.
It's his web-tulpa.
I'm a writer. I've worked on these shows.
Dude.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go around murdering people on Discord.
And he wrote this book. I mean, you really can buy this book, but it's poorly written. And like the Amazon
what's the
reviews
book
say that. It's called Forest of Savages.
It's his digital tulpa.
Oh.
He's not a real person.
Ooh.
Well, it came up really quick. It's $6. Oh, the Kindle edition is
on his page on Facebook. He was sharing other books similar to his, but they were by other authors, but they were all presented in the same fashion.
If it was called Forest of Sandwiches, I would waste $6.
I think it's like a catfish company. I think it's like a catfish company where they just get writers to just people willing to write. They just get people to write these little books, and then they make up fake pen names and fake accounts and just bullcrap. I don't know. It's just like a spam business.
Yeah.
He might be real, dude. We'll never know. I gotta go on
we'll
mute one more time, real
Rookie
quick.
Rookie Berwick is a real.
Let's
man.
Get Rookie Berwick on the show.
Yeah, Rookie Berwick, if you're listening, we'd love to have you as a guest.
If you're not a tulpa.
If you're not a tulpa,
we can send him a message. Oh man.
Oh wow. Okay.
Do it. Let's get in contact with him then. Let's
it
see.
Does say he's 6'7" and a half. We actually know somebody who is 6'7" and a half, so it's not super far.
Let's make him stand next to each other.
I used to know a guy who was like
6'8".
For an hour.
Yeah, for an hour.
You both have to stand there for an hour.
See which one shrinks first.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm looking at his Facebook page, and it's confusing.
That's what he was saying. It seems like it may not be a real page. Maybe it's his clean Facebook page. Maybe.
No.
Maybe this is his Facebook Tulpa.
I have a clean Facebook page now. Is that what you're trying to say?
No.
Christy, he never had a dirty one. What are you talking about?
I did.
I'm just saying.
I did. And it can't be proven now, but I did. I'm going to be teaching children. I can't let the stuff that I did said 10 years ago on Facebook creep up and bite me in my behind quarters. I can't say the A word anymore.
That's right. Behind quarters. There you go.
Anagram is a really bad word.
So can you still do this podcast?
Yes, but okay. I'm going over. I have a pseudonym now.
Oh, yeah?
Okay.
Yeah, it's my Tulpa's name.
It's Leck. Just Kale backwards.
Ronald. Oh. Ronald.
I was going to say Cornflake.
Oh, yeah. Come on. We've got Cornflake sandpaper. You can't just be Ronald.
You have to be something a little bit more original.
Cheerios.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, you can be Rookie.
Cornflake and sandpaper. Yeah, I'll be Rookie.
Rookie.
This episode of Mysterious Boom brought to you by the Kellogg's Company.
Yeah, right?
I'll be Kellogg's.
Hey! Oh. There you go. That's actually perfect.
Yeah, you just be Kellogg's. Just get in contact with Kellogg's first. Get them to sponsor this show.
You just say that you're the Kel, you're the OG Kel, and Kel OG, Kellogg. They can't sue you for that.
Kellogg's.
I changed my name to Firefit Kellogg's.
They can't see. Oh God!
Okay,
there she goes.
We went off the sonic scale there. Only dogs could hear the rest of that laugh.
There's bats flying up against our window.
It's also paranormal, which brings us right back on the rails of this fantastic little choo-choo.
Hey, Abed's right. Maybe Rookie is the Bigfoot.
Yeah, totally.
He is 6'7" and a half. Maybe he's a baby Bigfoot.
he's a youngster.
How tall are Bigfoot supposed to be?
Yeah, okay, we have to look
at 6 foot
up.
7.
Oh boy.
Their name is Rookie Brunswick.
It's Berwick though.
Berwick. Rookie Bigfoot.
Brunswick is a bowling apparel company, yes, or something. It
is. Just how tall is Bigfoot? That's what somebody I guess typed in.
Oh man, remember we were Googling stuff last week too.
Oh no.
Did we just Google how tall is Bigfoot?
Yeah, we're trying to find out how tall Bigfoot is. This actually has absolutely no answer for us.
Well,
oh no, we're roboting again. How are we roboting? We're not on freaking Skype. We shouldn't be roboting. You know, our electricity went out today, and when I came home, my computer wouldn't come on. I got genuinely frightened at the situation.
Oh my gosh.
I had
big facts.
Christy, you're roboting too.
Here, I'll put the server on.
I don't know what he said. Nope.
Okay, we're on a different voice server now. See if that fixes it for you guys.
Okay.
Yeah, I did.
That did.
Totally fixed.
All right, so we're on US South now. We're on Central before.
Ah, there we go.
So some of you guys, I guess it's dealing with an ISP down there in Texas. I guess it was just having a bad connection to the Discord servers there.
Maybe so.
Well, that fixed it. Very good.
All right, Christy, what was you saying? You found Bigfoot size?
Bigfoot facts. No. Bigfoot is between 6 foot six and 10 foot tall.
That's not even 6 foot six?
Six between
3.5 feet variance.
Between a tall adult and skyscraper.
Yeah.
Right.
Somewhere.
So actually Connor could be taller than a Bigfoot.
Yes.
I'm gonna put that on this. Hold on. I gotta send him that message in Discord.
Yep.
You know, I'm gonna try and create Bigfoot as my Tulpa.
Oh, that would be great.
You could be.
Sorry, guys, I can't come in this house. The door is too small for my Tulpa to get through. You got a garage we could come in?
Okay.
What if we all created Tulpas and then we made like a super like crime fighting problem solving team called Tulpa Team? and then we all yes. went out. Yeah,
Topa. What if we had a Topa tournament? We made them all fight each other.
Oh, God.
There should be a Topa movie.
Mine would win, dude.
Your Topa would. Oh, your Topa is better than our Topa. Is that what you're saying?
My Topa is Braun Strowman.
Oh, whoa! Oh. Wait, yeah. How tall is he? 6 foot.
Yeah, 6 foot. He's taller than Rookie Brunswick. Why do I keep saying that? Berwick.
You just made me choke. I was taking a drink. Sorry.
Back to the serious discussion. Topa's on. Maybe I should try like Topa horsing again. It's been years.
See, now I was reading about it. I was thinking, is this something that I could do? And I couldn't wrap my mind around trying to do it. I don't know. They say, and everything said to like research it a lot before you ever start doing it too. So.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe I should try again, legitimately.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we could keep up with you. Hey, hold on a second. Because we had Avid. Avid was the one who brought up the Topas. And did Avid want to come into the chat and speak on this? We're waiting. Maybe later.
Maybe later.
Yeah. No worries. No pressure. There's no pressure to be on the Mysterious Spoon.
Except, you know, the 250 PSI on that pipe behind you. That blows. It's going.
He took a nap. I needed to take a nap, man. Oh. Right before we started this, I was tired. Sick and tired.
It's 10 o'clock at night. You need to sleep. You don't need to take a nap.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, you got a point there. I got a busy day tomorrow. He said there is a Topa Muma.
Topa Muma?
Oh, God.
That just sounds like a place in India. Topa Muma.
Harvey. Harvey with Jimmy. Oh, Jimmy Stewart. Says is essentially like a Topa movie. From
Final Fantasy, The Topa Within.
Oh, well, it's 1950.
1950, they're talking about Topas, and I didn't even know. I'm going to look on Steam if there's a Topa game.
A Puka named Harvey.
A Puka? What is
okay,
it?
I've got to click.
Christy, Puka, what's a Puka?
Irish for spirit ghost, is primarily a creature of Celtic folklore. Considered to be bringers of both good and bad fortune. They can either help or hinder rural and marine communities. The Puka can have dark or staunch white fur or hair. Creatures were said to be shape changers, which could take appearance of horses, goats, cats, dogs, and hares. Well, that's not really... It's not really a Topa because it's a physical being.
Yeah.
Folklore. Topas are not physical. They can't interact with the physical world because they're just in your mind.
Yeah, Christy. So don't be scared.
Mm-hmm.
Just let your inner Topa out.
Oh, okay. So we're saying in the movie, it's a thing that only the main character can see.
Oh. So it could be.
Let your Topa take over your life.
It would be a thing where you had to watch it and see if it ever actually interacted with the world or whatever.
There is actually a game, Topa, on Steam. A surreal puzzle platformer that's as beautiful as it is challenging. Discovered two beings entwined by fate. A girl and her soulmate left to travel through a hauntingly elegant world.
Whoa.
I remember when that was released. It just happened to show up on my Steam page. I'm like, oh, is that actually about Topas? It wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at it and it's kind of, yeah, it's not.
It's an not interesting little enough. Game, though. Apparently it's not very good. Mixed reviews.
There's a lot of thumbs down. Not recommended. Not recommended. Not recommended. Whatever. I'll give puzzle platformers a chance. I like quite a few of them.
Yeah.
I played through Oxenfree. That was a good one. It's very paranormal.
Yeah, I saw that on the Humble Bundle today.
Oh, really? Yeah. I enjoyed it. Very story-driven. It's got ghosts and interdimensional stuff and time relapses, I guess you'd call it.
Oop.
Let's see. Christy, what else do we got?
What else do we got?
Are you still with us, Christy?
I am.
Okay. I didn't know if you
I was reading the Bigfoot text.
I thought maybe you were like Tulpa-ing over there and really concentrating.
Oh boy. No, I'm gearing up to find the Bigfoot while I'm at camp.
Ooh.
In the woods.
At the Big Thicket?
The Big Thicket.
At the Big Thicket.
Bigfoot at the Big Thicket. It just makes sense.
It would make sense.
Do you really want... Should we get some Bigfoot juice?
It's $7 a bottle. Where do you buy it?
You gotta order it.
Does this person sell it on Amazon?
Well, you click on the page to buy it, and it takes you to her PayPal.
I bet it's just...
Just to her PayPal, or is it like a shopping cart?
Hold on, let me see. Where is it? Bigfoot juice. I lost my Bigfoot juice. Okay, here we go.
Oh, boy.
I lost my Bigfoot juice. Where find?
You have to... So you buy it through her Happy Body Care on Facebook.
Okay, so we've established that it's just been a publicity stunt for her body care products.
Yeah, absolutely. I like it, though. I enjoy when people come up with little gimmicks and... It's like them old gas stations where they used to have, like, we've got Shark Boy in here, and, you know, come up with, like, crazy little sideshow attractions.
It's certainly more effort than, like, the stupid viral marketing campaigns.
Right, right.
Rookie Berwick.
Oh, she's got a bunch of happy stuff. She's got happy rollers burning something.
Happy rollers burning what is things? This? I'm sorry. That sounds counterintuitive.
Happy rollers, burning heart, itch no mo, and sleepy time. I don't know what that... Let's talk rollers. Rollers are...
You just said a series of English words, but they don't fit together at all.
That's like the actual title of this product, I think.
Yeah, I'm not buying something if it isn't... Like...
What is it? I don't even know what it is.
It sounds like some sort of...
I think it's like a toy for kids when I hear that.
It sounds like some kind of marijuana oils or something to me.
Yeah.
Right?
Happy rollers, burning heart, itch no more.
I'll take two.
Sleepy
You tried
time.
That Bigfoot juice, bro?
Oh, man.
Itch no mo roller is what this thing is actually called. Helps, and when I say itch no mo, it's itch, N-O-M-O, roller. Helps you when you have that itch that just won't go away.
Oh, it's man. Anti-itch.
There are days my...
I know about that.
Oh, wait a minute. There are days my... There are days my four-year-old can just be outside 5 minutes and get Hold on. Get big bit? What? What is this lady...
Oh, big bit. She got big... Not bit by no small thing. You get big bit.
I guess I got to thank North Carolina when I'm reading this. I don't get it.
So my accent was correctly.
You do realize what it is, right?
No.
It's a little thing that has a roller ball on it, and you open it and you rub it on your itch so it goes away. It's anti-itch.
Yeah. Cream. It's literally just... It's one of those flowery, expensive designer gold bond creams.
Oh, wait a second. No. Bigfoot juice is now up to $12?
Uh-oh.
No, thank you.
That's messed up. Yeah, when
she's got a little tiny bottle too. It's not a big bottle.
She's got some haters on her page too. If you go down there, like this isn't real Bigfoot juice.
Like,
please inform me as to what real Bigfoot juice.
That one guy that I think that one guy who was sexually assaulted has the real Bigfoot juice.
Oh man,
traces of it on his clothes.
Would that might attract a Bigfoot, like a female Bigfoot?
Man, if he was smart, he would have collected some Bigfoot fluid and sent it off to one of those DNA analyzation companies.
Hey, yeah.
You know, you can buy that thing for like $100 in the mail, spit in a tube, and they tell you what your ancestry is like and like how threatened you are to get like certain diseases.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You never heard of that?
No. I might look.
Yeah, it's like $100 and something. It takes like weeks to get there. You spit in a tube and they analyze it in the lab. It tells you about like your ancestry, you know, where all your ancestors originally came from, how much Neanderthal DNA you have, and how at risk you are versus the normal, like the rest of the population.
Does it tell you if you're going to win the lottery?
It can't predict that.
It can't teach that.
Well, you can teach not to waste money on lottery tickets.
Don't touch our lottery tickets. I don't buy lottery tickets. We have family members that are crazy about lottery tickets.
Yes.
And that's what they give as Christmas gifts.
Yes.
Didn't somebody give...
That's just kind of... That's not even nice.
No. Remember that?
It's like, here's a gift I paid $20 for. It's just a piece of cardboard that contains no value unless you're extremely lucky. Christy, then you might get another one for free.
One year we bought some fake lottery tickets.
Oh my gosh.
You remember that?
Yes.
We bought fake lottery tickets and put it in the Christmas white elephant thing. And then the people got excited.
It was $10,000. Fake $10,000 ticket.
Did you tell them that they were fake lottery tickets?
No, of course he didn't.
Why would you tell them? That ruins the surprise. So oh my god, I won
$10,000. They eventually figured that on their own, because they on the back of the ticket, it's one of them things where it's just like so absurd, like the things you got to do to turn it in. They're like, okay, this isn't real.
It begins, they usually begin normal, like, to redeem your prize, you must, you go through these couple of steps, and it's like, and address the envelope to Santa Claus 1573
right.
North Pole.
Right, exactly. So, they figured it out eventually. Did we ever come clean about? No, we never. Well, I don't know if they listen to this.
We just did.
Someone's sitting there like, wait a minute. I knew that name, Santa Claus, was familiar.
Yeah, they didn't end up, they didn't find it as funny as we did.
As you did. I thought it was hilarious.
And I was keeping kayfabe, man. I was like, oh, really? Oh, what? Then I had to go hide in the bathroom and contain myself. Contain my laughter.
Then you had to hide in the bathroom for an extra hour while they tried to break the door down with baseball bats.
Yeah, no. I realized how serious they were about their lottery tickets at that moment, and I was like, wait a minute, this was probably not a good idea.
Who was just making pigeon noises?
Is that you, Christy?
Probably. I was petting the cat.
This is a cat making pigeon noises.
Let a pigeon into the chat.
All right, you know what? I think now it's the time where we need to tell people that they need to go to themysteriousboom.com, they need to subscribe to the podcast, they need to go to Discord. And whenever we're in there, they can listen to the show live and interact, much like Bro T, much like Avid, much like Razor Wolf, who's now AFK. But, you know, interaction, it's cool. And you get to hear the show live as it happens. Good and bad, the roboting and everything else. And then, just keep up with that. Subscribe, rate, review, and all the good stuff that all the podcasts always say. And then we'll see you next time on Mysterious Boom.
Yee.
All right, later.
You've been listening to Mysterious Boom. Call us on our voice line at 281-862-8598 or email us at share@mysteriousboom.com or join our Facebook group and interact with us on the community there. It is facebook.com/groups/mysteriousboom. And all of this information, as well as episodes and links, can be found at mysteriousboom.com.